Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. I'm feeling so ninja tonight. We finally got a scary story in the great country of Japan. Now, heat up that miso soup, grab those chopsticks for that sushi, and let's get saucy on some sake! We went spelunking in and around Mount Fuji, Japan, many years ago. More specifically, to visit the Narusawa Ice Cave, an alluring, magnificent convergence of ice crystals and lightly coated, dry snow inside an iridescent cavern, magically shifting colors from blue to a fluorescent purple depending on time of day and the amount of light creeping in. Nature's ancient lava lamp of which you've only seen in dreams or in paintings. Only there was a tension infecting the group the further that we traveled. Is something getting to any of you? Are we hearing things? Something's coming to me, but I can't keep a hold of it. Alyssa trailed in back of the group. The introvert, she'd barely spoken a word. Didn't even seem to get any enjoyment out of any of this. But unaccounted for dread began to tap and shake at my nerves. And finally, there was light at the end. And we exited to find ourselves outstretched on a natural shelf overlooking Aguilera National Forest. Forest of the Dead. The five of us abound with nervous laughter on our way down the mountain, mostly in exasperation, hurling ghost stories at one another, all while the while admiring its beauty and Fuji's snow-covered cone. As if visiting a fantastical planet in a far-off galaxy, the landscape was breathtaking. Air clear, smelling like pines and fresh water for miles. Sounds of strange animals chirping and leaping across the canopies above us. And then there was the never-faltering sound of running streams at the time surrounding us in every direction, including the sky. Once we made our descent down the west face of the foothills, we arrived at our destination. We, for the first time, gazed upon the tree line into the infinite, refracturing green prism. Jen, one member of our group, spoke for all of us as the day fell eerily silent. I just got a chill. We all felt it. A complete shift in mood. All I could muster was, what the hell was that? All I know is if I find a hanging corpse, I'm gonna put it on YouTube, said Andrew, trying to quail out some collective uneasiness with a bit of levity. Didn't somebody already do that and get banned or something? If I see a hanging body, I'll kill all of you for dragging me down here, I warned. Alyssa was most shaken, most likely due to her history of staring suicide in its face. She came home from school and found her twin brother in the closet, toes hovering 3 inches above the wood floor, twirling in slow concentric circles. Nobody even knew he was depressed. He was only 17. It's the quiet ones. The friends you never suspect. So often it's the ones no longer begging or asking for attention or help. Who are always in the most precarious places mentally. They gain an acceptance of their fate and tend to exude an air of catharsis with their situation. Guys, I don't know that I'm too excited going into this place. I can smell it already. Can't you guys? Alyssa, there was no smell except the pines and the firs. Wildlife. I smell something stinky. Oh, God, it's my bad. Perhaps a placebo effect. We only assumed that she was expecting the worst before we went in there. Undoubtedly, the reputation of the aptly dubbed Suicide Forest indeed precedes itself. I could take her back to camp, said Jen. That's a 2-day trip. You can't be serious. I'm fine, Alyssa said, but she wasn't. It wasn't in those eyes of hers, always squinting, and looking ahead or up in the trees, as if she saw something we didn't. We each took one final allied inhale before beginning to slog forward. Of course, we imagined rows and rows of dead bodies, but what was most bothersome about this place lure is that thousands get lost and die every year of starvation. Perhaps this is more the cause of the suicides than depression. They say compasses don't work here. All a wife's tale, spouted a skeptical Andrew. Of course, we didn't truly expect to see anything to write home about. 34.5 north, 138.7 east. Looks like the compass works. Debunked, joked Jeremy. Despite its disturbing history, being trapped inside this crazy emerald spasm was much more tranquil than I suspected. Did you all feel that? Like a calming relaxation? Yeah. We all said it at the same time, but Alyssa remained silent. It's too quiet. Where are all the birds? Why does everything look the same? Liz, it's a forest. It's supposed to look the same. Soon, there was as much as thicket behind us as there was in front of us and all around us. No more points of entry or exit. How many people travel this place every year? Jeremy, you know all the little fun facts crap. About 100,000. And how many kill themselves or get lost? Depends. On what? Depends on how many enter the Forbidden Zone. That's just bullcrap to draw in travelers. Don't listen to him, Jen said directly to anxiety-ridden Alyssa. I'm going to go back. This doesn't feel right. You can't just go back already, Liz. Just do me this favor. I promise we'll be laughing about this on the flight home. And after those crazy few seconds of pleading, a black crow fell from the canopy right on her feet. Head turned completely around. We all jumped, but Alyssa screamed. I'm going now. Alyssa began to run off down the direction we came while we cried for her to stop. I had an extra compass, so I ran to Alyssa and slipped it in her palm. Her eyes were red from sobbing. Here, take this. Look, I'm not leaving you alone in the middle of a Japanese wilderness. I can't go in there. I've got to get back out. I don't mean to interfere with your exploration, but like I said, it doesn't feel right. If nobody else goes back with you, I will. But Liz, please try to understand our side. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Where better to face your fears than in one of the most pristine places on planet Earth? It sticks and leaves, no offense. Through her sniveling and imbuing, she said something I'd never forget. I've already been here, you know. I was confused. But Liz, we haven't seen anything yet. I did, and that's why I'm not going back there. What did you see? She paused while composing herself, and then said it. My brother.
Yo, you guys coming or what? Shouted Jeremy. Just give us a minute.
Alyssa, I can't tell if you're being literal or philosophical. I felt like I treated her as if what she said was bullcrap. Another chill running up my back at the sound of a creaking treetop in the wind. So frickin' eerie. Despite the emptiness of our surroundings, she stood by her conviction, and after a few puffs of my last joint, she decided to trek on alongside us. We made a silent pact not to talk about suicide around Alyssa. The further we traveled, the more entombed we felt, and oddly, more depressed. Like we were inside a chamber slowly filling with some kind of gas. After a bit, the chatter just organically subsided little by little. Soon, we weren't even speaking.
I'm not sure where it came from or why, but I had to stop, leaning against a tree to catch my breath. And then I wept. They tried to console me, asking me what was wrong. It's been nailing me this whole trip. It's Jack. I can't stop thinking about the last day of our marriage at the house. Jen placed her hand on my shoulders. Honey, that was a long time ago. Wait, how do you even know that? Did I tell you? Another shot of ice into my veins. Jesus, I didn't even know, April. It was like the thought was forced into the forefront of my mind against my will. I'm sorry, guys. Please just give me a minute. I couldn't stop crying. The episode came and went, disappearing in apathy as quickly as it turned from peaceful to being grief-stricken. We continued our journey. Now, the entrance was gone. We could have been anywhere. Soon the talking was non-existent. We just marched ahead like zombies, not going in any particular direction. Even the looks on their faces. Perpetually slack jaws like a corpse. Well, it looked like they were dead already. I noticed Jen's lips and face turning blue. I felt downtrodden, wheezing, a burn across my neck, hopelessly out of breath. I thought trees produce oxygen. Feels like they're sucking it out. I can't breathe. I began to take inventory on everything wrong in my life. Hidden drug addiction, stealing to make ends meet, cheating on my ex with his friend. Despite many of these things happening 15 or 20 years ago, somehow, in these moments, it was dragging me under. I tried to speak, but couldn't. Suddenly, I became afraid of my friends. Even Alyssa was smirking. I finally knew why we were here. It was all a ploy. A ploy to take me out. We were marching into danger. The air was thinning. We continued wandering aimlessly between uncannily similar trees, repeating patterns in an endless loop. At this point, after maybe 5 miles, we ceased. For unexplainable reasons, talking about any planned or mapped out route. I turned to see Jeremy turning blue and wheezing. Alyssa began gasping for air, stretching to the sky. And out of nowhere, a jarring sight. Jen had fallen to the ground and begun seizing. Andrew was still standing, but he had made a comment which truly disturbed me. Do you smell that stench? And truthfully, I did. It smelled like pungent roadkill with a ting of sweetness. An exact description of how a carcass smells from my stepdad who was a cop. It is why they use smelling salts. I wanted the puke. Something was wrong with this place. I came to the realization that it wasn't the people killing themselves. It was the forest. 37 degrees north, 141 degrees south. I can't articulate why Andrew would even continue to tell us where we were, because his coordinates meant nothing at this point. I'm feeling sick. I need to sit down. Jeremy found a tree and sat against it. Jen, remember when we were like 10 and we used to catch bugs? What does that matter? He began to whimper and cry quietly. Remember when I caught that big, beautiful monarch butterfly? And put it in the cage with all those spiders? And we laughed while it struggled to fly away, even though it was being devoured. How scared do you think that poor thing felt? Trapped, you know? I guess I remember. Why, Jeremy? That was 15 years ago. It was just a butterfly. Because that's us. We are the butterfly, and it's us. How could you be so frickin' cold? Grow up. We were kids. What is with you people? If I had known this would happen, I would have never suggested it. This is your fault, Jen, Alyssa raged. Jeremy, where the hell are we? How the hell do we get out of here? Jeremy looked at the sky, eyes wide with fear, and asked, Do you hear them? They're right above us. Okay, we need to stop. Anyone's GPS working? We have to keep going, Andrew replied with complete indifference to my concerns. Go where? One big circle with no exit? I couldn't identify any more one particular voice from another. It's still daylight. We've been walking for hours and it's 7:14. It's blurry. I feel sick. I can't breathe. We have to get out of this oxygen-sucking forgotten place. We were adrift in an ocean of trees. Point Nemo. I couldn't stop thinking about how much I miss Jack. And even more, how much I long to see Abby again. She's only 6, and I don't want to believe her mother abandoned her. I started to hear a gentle sobbing, and turned to see Jen with her head against a tree.
They took my baby away. I was a good mother.
She turned to address us as a group, eyes red and watery.
Babies fall sometimes. What was I supposed to do? I never hurt her.
Falling apart at our seams. Look. So, I looked at Andrew. So let's get this over with. What do you need to cry about? The way he looked at me filled me with dread. He held this expression of satisfaction. I shuddered at his cold, dead stare. My senses began to heighten. Oh, I don't cry. I don't have the ability. I don't understand. When something tragic occurs, it leaves what I call to be an internal cigarette burn in the place of where the cataclysm took place. When I first brought you here, you complained of a smell, a lingering after effect, an anomaly undeniable but still unexplainable to mortals. My head abruptly began to spin, my vision blurry and broken into a cold sweat. I then came to a profound realization the more nauseated I became. And in this moment of acute cognizance, I felt myself sinking inside. Jen, Andrew, Alyssa, and Jeremy. I had never met them before, except I had, all at the same time. And it hit me once I approached the yellow tape and signs reading, Kinshi Kuki, Japanese for Forbidden Zone. I shut my eyes and stumbled down into the mud. When I came to, I found myself standing in a circle with 4 other American tourists, Alyssa, Jeremy, Jen, and Andrew. And instantaneously, I found myself closed, looking through the eyes of my mortal vessel. We wondered when you would show up, April. It's going to be that time, uttered Andrew. Alyssa placed her hand on my shoulder. It's okay. It will take you a few minutes to catch up. Don't be afraid. We're your friends. I could mutter only one thing. When am I going home? I need to see my little girl. Night was beginning to fall, and snowflakes leisurely drifted as far as the eye could see, far into my green prison, meandering and blowing in swirls. Birds and other animals cackled and hooted to infinity. This is going to be awful. I'd rather go first. Get it the hell over with, murmured Jeremy. Alyssa still empathetically clung to my arm and ran her fingers through my hair. Jen began to sob. Not again, please. Will one of you please tell me what is happening? She's still not remembering, Andrew. Andrew approached me and gazed into my eyes inches from my face. Bloodshot eyes with dilated black pupils. And suddenly the stench came back. No need to worry about your daughter. She's long grown up. She'd be about 25 or 26 now. Who are you? I'm the proliferation of this place. When you killed yourself, a deal was made, and you made a choice. And then I began to see it all clearly again. I think I understand. Then say it, demanded Andrew. In Japanese, there is an underground organization called Project Evacuate. For a hefty fee, they will take you in an unmarked van and guide you into the Forbidden Zone. The further into the forest we trekked, I remembered our guide putting on a mask of some sort, and then we took turns, climbing the tree. I can't recall anymore. Andrew's skin turned a pale blue, his hands cold as ice. Who are you, really? I was the first, at least as far back as history can be calculated. An American in a Japanese forest. Of all the people, right? So, I am alive right now? Andrew turned and angrily spat out on the ground the words, You keep quiet, or there will be hell to pay.
It's all right, began Jeremy.
None of us wanted to live anyways. But April, you were never sure. Andrew is the embodiment of whatever incalculable evil that is in this place. He's not human, but you, we are, right now, for this short space of time. You could have it all back.
What do you mean, have it
back, Alyssa. This force takes lives, but it can also give them back. I've watched you repeatedly kill yourself every time you relive your journey here. This forest is as much a miracle as it is evil. The rest of us don't want our lives back. Go home and watch Abigail grow up. Run now, in this direction. Do not deviate.
Alyssa, I don't want to leave you. You've been so good to me.
Listen, April. In about 5 minutes, your lucidity is going to blur, and you'll wind up where this journey began, and have to relive it over and over again. 5 minutes. Go and get out of here. Before Andrew had stopped tearing into Jeremy's flesh with his grown claws, I quietly extracted myself from the group. I hid behind a tree and watched Alyssa drop a noose around her neck and say one last thing. I'm ready. I didn't stay to watch. When I emerged into the parking lot, I found a white van waiting for me and saw the face of a man I hadn't seen in decades. I never knew his name. So you know our secret, huh? How long have I been gone? I'd say about 2 hours. You're the first to ever come back. Congratulations. On the ride back, this man named Loki hesitantly told me something deeply honest within his heart. You know, I understand we are both here to help, but I'm not sure this is the answer. I've always hoped they'd come back. Can you please take me to a payphone? There will be one at the stop. May I ask, what made you do this in the first place? I lifted up my shirt to find open sores and grazed my hand across my shaven head. Cancer. I didn't want my daughter to watch me deteriorate. I learned about you guys from a friend at one of my cancer therapy groups. I see. But Loki, is it? I do have one question. Why would God give me a second chance after committing the most damned of all sins? I mean, what exactly is that forest? There was an uncomfortable silence. Loki? Did you hear my question? He began laughing menacingly. I hear it perfectly good, and my answer is this. Someone lied to you. What? Suddenly, the van crawled to a stop, and three people stepped inside. Jen, Alyssa, and Andrew. No, Jeremy. I see you folks so much, I'm beginning to think I'm dead, muttered Loki. They all chose their seats, and I began falling inside and breaking into a cold sweat. Hi, I'm Alyssa. She reached out to shake my hand. All of a sudden, I felt hot breath in my ear, leaning in from behind me. It was Andrew. Nice try, April, but nobody escapes the forest. It's all in my control, just as it is where I sent Jeremy. And why are you the authority here? What are you, a demon or something? Do not speak too loudly. As to your question, I don't know. I never knew what I was. All I know is that you're trapped, just like me. I can scream. Scream all you want. Nobody could hear the dead. You're lucky to be where you are, and not that other place. He was right. No use in getting myself in worse trouble or going wherever Jeremy went. I know exactly what this forest is. It's purgatory. Andrew will probably find this recording of me that I keep on me, as I watch each one of my newest friends writhe and gasp desperately for air, twitching and shaking into oblivion until their heart stops. So, I'm shutting this off now, and tossing it as far as I can away from here. Maybe one day someone will find it and explain to Abigail why I left. Perhaps, if this recording is found, it will disprove Andrew's notion that, at least for a while, I'm actually alive. Real. I'm sure it's wishful thinking. The Forest. November 14th, 2013. Detective Haru Matuwashi, Investigating Officer. Item checked into evidence, Sony TCM-929 Cassette Recorder 2001 Model. After review of the tape, Deck's conclusion is that it's merely a hoax or lost personal items lacking permanent details to continue looking into. There are no dates, last or maiden names. Recorder weathered but preserved.
Item registered into evidence clearing for pickup by owner. Matter now closed. Precinct, November 15th, 2013. Detective Haru Marumashi, investigating officer. In reference to evidence item number 2241, detective made aware of a positive information relating to Sony TCM-929 cassette recorder 2001 model and possible link to case docket 77124. A report filed on February 28, 2001, related to multiple deaths ruled as suicide. Subjects: Jennifer Riley, Alyssa Reinhold, Jeremy Nagy, and April Wilson, discovered by anonymous witness suspended by trees dead by hanging. Coroner reports indicates all subject in nearly identical states of decay. Case reopened. The end.